The vice president takes the American economic message to China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Vice President Joe Biden arrived in China a few hours ago for a five-day trip there. Biden's hoping to reassure the Chinese government that the Obama administration has a firm grip on economic policy after S&P downgraded the U.S. credit rating. The BBC's Michael Bristow is with us now from Beijing with the latest on that. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
What is the vice president expecting to get from his visit economically in China?
The economic crisis which has hit the world, hit America over the last few weeks is going to be a hot topic, particularly all the money, more than a trillion US dollars that China has loaned the United States. China wants to make sure that that investment is safe. And officials in their meetings with Joe Biden will be looking for reassurances that the United States won't be doing anything to undermine those investments.
I know the vice president is going to be meeting with his Chinese counterpart, and unlike Biden, the vice president in China is in line to just become the president of China without an election. Will we learn anything about how China's economic policies could change under new leadership?
I don't think so, because the Chinese government play their cards very close to their chest. But certainly I think it will provide an opportunity to meet Vice President Xi Jinping. He'll be able to get some kind of impression, form some impression of what kind of person he is.
How symbolic do you think is this visit to China for the vice president?
Any contact between senior leaders of the United States and China is important. After all, we're looking at two countries that are largely going to shape the way the world is in the 21st century. So they're still really trying to get to know each other and finding out, particularly from the US point of view, finding out what China really wants to do over the next few years.
The BBC's Michael Bristow in Beijing. Michael, thank you.
Thanks.
Four of the five biggest American tobacco companies are suing the federal government. They want the government to stop a plan to make them put graphic labels on cigarette packs starting next year. Well, the tobacco companies say those labels violate free speech by requiring them to carry a government-sponsored appeal to not use their legal products. Attorney Bill Singer has been looking into this case. He's with us now from New York to talk about it. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So warnings have been on cigarette packs for a long, long time here in the U.S. What's at the center of this new tobacco argument?
Their complaint is that they are being forced to advocate on their commercial product against smoking when they argue that it's a legal problem. The contra side of that argument is that the United States Supreme Court has argued that commercial speech may legally be regulated by the government. So at the in this lawsuit that's being threatened, we have a fascinating watershed moment where industry is arguing that the government has reached the limits of its rightful ability to regulate speech, and the government is arguing that, no, we have every right to regulate this product that we feel causes cancer.
How much is at stake for tobacco companies in all of this, Bill?
The tobacco industry is making an argument that many other industries have historically made. Whether it's Pfizer and Merck in the drug industry or Merrill Lynch, for example, in the securities industry, they're arguing that at a point in time, it becomes too expensive for them to comply with government regulations and that the cost of complying hurts their bottom line. So there's a tremendous amount at stake for the tobacco industry because, quite frankly, these images are horrifying, and they will scare people away from smoking.
Bill Singer, attorney who's been looking into this tobacco story. Bill, thank you so much.
No problem, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed right now. A look at inflation is out this morning. The Commerce Department's producer price index for July was slightly higher by 0.2%, thanks in part to a rise in food prices. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 76 points to end the day at 11,405. We have special coverage exploring the current state of the economy and whether we're entering or re-entering another recession. It's called The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time, and that is at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
We got retail earnings today from Target, which reported a bigger-than-expected profit and an increase in sales last quarter. But the world's biggest retailer, Walmart, said yesterday its U.S. sales were down. So why the different reports? Here's Marketplace's Eve Troeh.
Walmart's always sold itself as a low-price leader. And customers bought that until the last few years. Now it's been challenged from above and below, says Bud Bugatch with investment firm Raymond James.
The dollar stores. That's who people most often compare them to.
By people, he means shoppers, the ones looking even harder than before for the very best deals. But competition's also been coming from the fancier discounter, Target. It's cut prices to lure families who fled to Walmart in the recession, and Target has tried to look more wallish, too.
Converting almost all of its stores to include supermarkets with drugstores, with discount stores.
That's Bert Flickinger at Strategic Resource Group. He says the discount retail space, where Walmart used to be top dog, is now a dog pile, with everyone from grocery stores to warehouse clubs jumping into the fray. I'm Eve Troeh for Marketplace.
And finally, we're just a couple of weeks after Standard & Poor's lowered the U.S. credit rating. Shortly after that, S&P docked the ratings of cities and local governments, too, saying their investments rely heavily on U.S. securities. Well, the city of Los Angeles' $7 billion of investments were downgraded as well. So L.A. fired back, announcing it won't be paying S&P to rate its investment fund, saying it didn't want to be associated with the agency anymore. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Small businesses create most of the new jobs in this country, lose them too when they go under. So how to know a business is going to stick?
If a business owner shows that, yes, not only did I pay myself, but I paid a couple of other employees, you are really destined for success.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the business side of the economy. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.